Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. In the first part of our show today, we're talking about the future of libraries. Sure, they've got books and ebooks and free Wi-Fi, but what are some new offerings on the horizon? Could the library become a place to help you incubate your business idea or create a prototype of your new invention? Corinne Hill joins us. She's the Chattanooga Public Library Director. She recently returned from the nation's capital to share ideas with other librarians and the federal government. We'll find out what she told them about the scenic city. Corinne Hill, welcome to Around and About.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
First of all, for anybody who didn't catch your last interview here on WUTC, a prestigious publication has named you the 2014 Librarian of the Year. I just want to say congratulations on that.
Thank you. It's pretty cool. It's been a lot of fun.
It sounds like it has been. Yeah. Were you expecting that at all?
No, I wasn't. So it was a really great surprise. And what was really super cool about it was that I was nominated by my staff.
Oh, wow.
So that's pretty phenomenal, right?
So they must like you.
Some of them, yeah.
And as we were saying, you're back in Chattanooga after this trip to Washington, D.C. While you were there, you took part in the Federal Communications Commission workshop about modernizing libraries. How did this come about? I mean, it sounds like people in Washington maybe were impressed with what's going on here in Chattanooga. They wanted to know what we're doing.
For the FCC, I think what's really interesting about Chattanooga is that we have the EPB. EPB provides us with our internet access, and the high-speed broadband is delivered by EPB. So it's a municipal network, and we're the only city in the country doing that, right? And so we're a great example of how you can do the, not just do it, but do it well. And we're also a demonstration, because I have high-speed broadband access at our libraries, we're a great example of how delivering high-speed broadband to your community is a game changer. So being able to talk about the things that we're doing with high-speed broadband and how it's not just a game changer for libraries, but for our communities as well. Because everybody, you know, the public, the private companies like the Comcasts and the people who are Verizon and AT&T who provide service in other cities, really, I think, want you to believe that it's really about downloading or streaming, you know, scandal.
Yeah.
Really fast.
Yeah, just TV shows.
It's all about TV shows and movies, and it's all about entertainment, and it really isn't. It's so much bigger than that. It's really having high-speed broadband access in your community becomes completely about access to information. It's about being engaged in your community. It's about being able to apply for your Medicare online and do it in a timely fashion where it's not frustrating. Just having that kind of access to information, it's a quality of life, but it's also about learning and it's about education. And so that conversation gets lost in the corporate conversation, and it becomes about, well, I can get, you know, House of Cards.
Yeah.
Right. And it doesn't buffer. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I love that. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so much bigger than that. And I hate that that part of the conversation tends to get pushed to the back burner.
I want to play an excerpt of something you said to the FCC. I think this is a great example of something that, at least to me, was completely unpredictable, but it's something this new technology is facilitating.
We have a community member. He and his wife adopted a child from the Ukraine. The child has no legs and no arms. But with the library software and our 3D printer, Dad printed a device that allows his child to eat on his own. And he can continue to come back as the child grows and reprint and make adjustments and reprint for that child.
So you're telling the FCC here in Chattanooga, people can use the library to literally create artificial limbs.
Right. Isn't that great?
That's just amazing.
Isn't that amazing? And the creativity of that father of doing that, right? And then the part that I absolutely love about that is that iterative process that he had to go through to develop that for his child. That's how new products and new businesses are developed. And so what's happening is, you know, he's a great example of how he helped his family and how he's helped this child. But the bigger picture is the library is becoming a place where people can come and move through the iterative process before they get out to become businesses and before they develop products. And so the risk is taken by the whole community, right? They can come in and work through the process and fail and fail and fail. And then when they succeed, because once they succeed, then they can go out and get funding, and then they go out and they become contributing members to the community and part of our economic development.
Well, it seems like, you know, maybe 10, 20 years ago, you could go to the library and check out a book on how to start your own business or a book on how to use technology like a 3D printer. But you're going beyond that and actually giving people access to a 3D printer. How did you convince people to do that? Because I would imagine some people would say, no, that's not what libraries do. We don't provide 3D printers for people.
I definitely hear that. I mean, we all grew up with the warehouse library, right? I mean, you did. You walked in and it was just shelving full of books. It was a warehouse. And basically what's happening now, certainly with the new, you know, that freelance work market, the way children and way people are learning, 21st century learning styles are really different from how I went to school and I memorized and I wrote it down and I fed it back. People today are really learning through doing. And so we're a learning organization. We always have been. We just provided you the information and the learning tools through a book. So now we're saying, no, come in, you're going to learn by doing it. Again, that iterative process, right? I see the kids doing it all the time, where, you know, they build a monster on the 3D printer using software that's essentially teaching them engineering skills.
Yeah.
And when they make a mistake and they put the arm in the wrong place and they print the monster, the arm falls off because it's in the wrong place. And so they come back to the software, they rebuild the monster, they move the arm, now they know I have to put it here because that's where it's strong, blah, blah. Those are engineering skills, right? That's really important. They don't realize they've just been through that. They've had a good time, but they're learning through doing. We just bought a loom. It's not all IT. It's not all IT. We have a sewing machine for the kids. Kids are learning how to sew. We just bought a loom, trying to figure out what are we going to do with a loom. But, it's learning by doing.
I imagine for librarians, this has got to be kind of a sea change, because it sounds like if you've got a 3D printer, for example, maybe you need someone who's got a degree in computer science as opposed to somebody with a degree in library science.
The skills are really different. It's been really hard on the industry. Don't get me wrong. I spent 2 days with about 80 people, leaders in the library world, talking about how do we manage this? How do we move forward in this and survive, right? It's been very, very difficult on folks who've been here a long time because they're used to warehouses, right, where every decision you made was data-driven. That was a really easy setup. It's something we're really comfortable with. But now we're entering an environment where it's really, truly learning. It's learning by doing. I'm clearing the books out. A lot of the material now is online. We're creating collaborative spaces. We're building stuff. People are coming in and making things. That's really different. And so how do you help folks through that process? And I think one of the things that's really important as we move forward is that we not focus on the stuff. Like, it's not about a device. It's not about a 3D printer. It's not about electronic books. It's about how do we organize ourselves? How do you organize yourself so that you can manage that kind of disruptive change on a regular
right.
basis? Because I really believe that the turbulence that we're experiencing in the workplace, I'd say we're good for at least the next 2 decades, that it's going to be this turbulent and the level of disruptive change is not going to slow down. So we have got to learn how to manage and lead in those kinds of environments, regardless of what, I don't know what the next device is. No one knows.
Well, that right? makes a lot of sense, yeah, because a lot of businesses, for-profit, non-profit, they just kind of react. They're not proactive in preparing for change. Change comes along, and then they kind of grudgingly adopt whatever the change is.
Exactly. And if you do it too late, you're going to fail. You're not going to be able to get caught up. And then if you embrace the change too early, if it doesn't gain traction, then you've wasted some money, right?
Yeah.
So it's knowing when to make that shift and when is the right time to make that shift. And some of that's instinct. Some of it's data, but some of it's instinct. It's like, now's the time to go. So it's just a real, it's a difficult time, but I think it's a fascinating time to be in this business, to be in the information business when everything's being delivered electronically. This is fabulous. I get such a kick out of it.
Speaking with Corinne Hill, she's the director of the Chattanooga Public Library. We're quickly running out of time here, but you were at this summit in Washington, D.C. In addition to being part of the FCC workshop, you went to this summit, the American Library Association's Libraries from Now On, Imagining the Future. And I understand one of the things you had to do during the summit was kind of come up with a short 2-word phrase about the future of libraries. Can you tell us what you came up with?
Oh, I did. And then I changed it towards the end. What was it? I had flexibility. You had to be flexible and you had to be adaptable. And then I changed it to libraries have to stop being so missionary and start being a little bit more mercenary.
Mercenary?
Yeah.
Why that word?
Well, because I think that libraries for so long have been these institutions that do all the stuff that nobody else wants to take on. And we've been missionaries and we do it for next to nothing. And, you know, all libraries are free. There's nothing free about a library. We have a $6 million operation. That's not free.
No.
Right? And I think that we have to start making some mercenary-like decisions. We can't do everything. We have a limited amount of resources, a limited amount of funding. And I think we have to identify what we do well and what the community wants and needs. And that's what we need to do. And we need to stop being missionaries. Oh, I'll go over there and do that. Oh, I'll, you know, oh, this. It's like, no, stop it. If it's not driving your strategic plan, if it's not helping you reach your goals, if it's not helping the city reach its goals, you shouldn't be doing it. And you only do the things you can afford to pay for. And so that mercenary type of attitude, I'm an old English major, right? So I love words. So I just think mercenary is just, I like how it plays off the missionary part. So I just thought that was really cool. But it does. I mean, it requires, you know, what we've done in Chattanooga Public Library in the last 2 years has required some really difficult decisions, some really difficult choices. And not everybody's like them, but I think they were the right decisions to make. And I think sometimes if you're leading an organization, you're the one who has to stand up and go, no, we're doing this in order to do this.
Corinne Hill, thank you so much for
joining
us.
Thanks for having me.